Good morning. Welcome to this online gathering of the Saints of Fellowship Raleigh Church. A couple of us here helping out. Appreciate you all. What we want to do this morning is just share some important information about what our church is doing, but we also want to look to God's Word. And so we're going to do that together in a moment. You can go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4, where we're going to be looking at a couple of verses that I think are just timely and incredibly encouraging for us this morning and in this season of our lives as a church. A couple of just announcements, just things to be thinking about. We're not having our worship gatherings this morning as we would typically have them, our two services at 9:15 and 11:15. We have canceled those for today just to be caring and conscientious of just the health crisis that our community is in right now with the coronavirus and all of that. But we are still meeting. You know, the church building is closed, but the church is not closed. Amen. And so we are still meeting. We are still seeking to encourage each other in God's word. We hope that this will do that for us, but also our small groups, which we call fellowship groups, are still meeting this week, where there'll be some questions for you to discuss the message this morning and to really be iron sharpens iron for one another. You can just see our website for information on getting into one of those fellowship groups if you're not in one. And, you know, I would say this, just keep checking our website. Check with us, communicate with us just to see what's happening, to see what's the deal with next week's services. At this point in time, we're planning on having our services, but just stay in touch and we'll keep you posted. And our prayers are definitely with you and for our city and for our country and world at this time. So let me jump in here and let me just acknowledge this is just a unique and just sort of an unplanned Sunday. And I sometimes get excited about those. It's an interesting story. I don't know if you've heard of Charles Spurgeon. Maybe you're not a Bible nerd like me, and you don't think about, you know, famous preachers like Charles Spurgeon. But at least you've seen that beards are cool. And he definitely started that, right? Okay, so, but he is a famous preacher in England. And I'm not sure if you know this, but here's how he came to faith in Christ. It was a snowy Sunday morning, and he was walking to his normal church. He was 15 years old, and because the snow was so bad, he couldn't get to his normal church. So he, for shelter, dropped into a primitive Methodist chapel and heard a guest speaker who was speaking there, who he didn't know who it was and never found out who it was. Preached a sermon on Isaiah 45:22, which says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And in his telling of this story, the preacher wasn't that great of a preacher, and he just kept repeating that verse over and over. And it was through that encounter that he came to faith in Christ. And then from there became, you know, a great spiritual leader who impacted many in England and elsewhere as well. And so, you think about that. What a weird, unplanned Sunday that Mother Nature sort of providentially guided this man into. And I think that happens in our lives as well. And so I always look to see what God is going to do in these unplanned times, to see what amazing way he's going to use this in our lives or in our culture to make an impact. And so just want to encourage you with that this morning. All right, so let's dive in. The title of the sermon this morning is Panic Sells, But Jesus Saves. Panic Sells, But Jesus Saves. So I would say this, the coronavirus got real for us this past week. Would you say that's true? Yeah, like we'd heard about it. And maybe for some of us, it was already real because you saw it, you know, on the news, you know, really far away, and you're just one of those people. You're like, I know that's a big deal. But for a lot of us, it got really real this past week. And maybe for you, it was a specific thing, like school being canceled for your kids, or March Madness becoming March Sadness, and basketball being canceled. I don't know, but it got real. And I was looking on a website, the Anxiety and Depression Association of America website, just seeing what they're saying, because I know people are struggling with anxiety right now. And there was an article on the website that said, "Panic sells, but calm saves." It was written by a couple of bloggers there. And it was interesting. I read it, and you can look at it yourself, but he goes through why we struggle so much with anxiety in these kinds of situations. And one thing he really pointed out was the source of our information. And he said, you know, think about the top three sources where we get our information. One is from the news. And so it's, you know, important that we remember, though, that the news is supported by advertisements and subscriptions, and they're in competition with one another. And just remember that panic sells. Another source of information that we get a lot of our truth from is from politicians. And he just pointed out, just remember that politicians, while they're doing their best to lead, can be driven by elections, by polls, by their party affiliation. It's just important to remember where we're getting our information. Another thing he said is social media. And he said there are often just many errors on social media, but even the accurate information is usually inseparable from comments that are really unhelpful. So these are our three primary sources where we get our information, and these sources of information are selling panic. And the title of the article, of course, is "Panic Sells, But Calm Saves." And so he then proceeds, the author, to go through what he thinks is a better way. He says, just look at the basic facts. Just look at, you know, some of the facts. Just be calm. Just look at the facts of the situation. And so he starts to go through that. He says, you know, hey, wash your hands. It would help if you wash your hands. Keep it calm. Wash your hands. Says he points out the symptoms are very mild in most people. And then he goes on and says, just be able to prepare meals at home without having to shop for several days. I'm like, reading it in this sort of calm manner that I feel like he's requiring, and I'm like starting to feel a lack of calmness as I'm reading these points. And he gets to the last one. Just think about this statement in the calmest manner. Have emergency bags for everyone in your home. The American Red Cross and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have lists of what you should pack. I'm like, what? Hey, panic sells and calm panics. Because I'm feeling panic as I read that. It's just as bad to me, it seems. So I was thinking, how about panic sells and Jesus saves for us as followers of Christ? And again, you know, here I am reading this article on this website about anxiety, and that's something that we all wrestle with in some measure. And actually on that website right there was another little thing. I clicked on it, and it said it's the number one mental health disorder in America, with 40 million adults dealing with anxiety. 20% of us. And I was thinking, like, this weekend, I wonder, how much higher is it, you know? And so I was really led in my heart to Philippians 4, 6 through 7, because this is where God's word most poignantly speaks to this challenge of anxiety. And so I want to show you just two verses. In these two verses, there are three commands. This is part of a section, verses 1 through 9, where there are nine commands and nine verses, but I just want to read with you Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and then say a prayer real quick, and then I just have one point. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Here's God's word. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your comfort and your presence and your care for us. God, we make these verses, we turn them around and we make them into our prayer this morning, Lord. We pray and we ask that your peace would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. and that we would know the peace of Jesus in our lives, and that we would share that peace with one another and with our community. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the amazing resources that you have given us by your Holy Spirit and by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would bless this time as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So panic sells, Jesus saves. So really, the subtitle, if you will, is "The Peace of Jesus Made Real in My Life Through Authentic Prayer." The peace of Jesus made real in my life through authentic prayer. And so I want to just say, just from these verses 6-7, I want to talk about practicing authentic prayer in place of anxiety. And so we just read the verses. I'm just going to kind of look at the first part of verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." That's a challenge. It's a famous verse, too. Do not be anxious about anything. The biblical definition for anxiety, really, it just means to be pulled apart emotionally, to be pulled or distracted or divided, to be pulled in different directions, emotionally and mentally. I want to talk for a moment about anxiety. I want to talk about the medical definition of anxiety really quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to say, do you know what anxiety is? Let me just unpack a couple of thoughts, because I think this plays right into what Paul is saying. So fear is a healthy physical and emotional response that alerts us to danger and prepares us for fight or flight. All right, so that's what fear is. So in response to a threat, our senses fire off urgent signals to the brain. So think about, in response to a threat, our senses send messages, like text messages, to parts of our brain. Just think of it like that. One message is to a part of the brain, the cerebral cortex. It's the thinking part of the brain, and it tells you what the threat is. Another message goes to a tiny structure called the amygdala, and I'm not going to get into all the medicine here, but that commands the heart to pump blood, preparing the muscles for quick action. And it also sends stress hormones and glucose into the bloodstream for extra energy. So just think of it like, you know, it's sending a message, and you're quickly getting filled up with fuel injection, and you're quickly, you know, getting sort of like jumped with some jumper cables. You're getting ready because the brain has been told to get ready. Finally, there's a photocopier machine that prints out a copy of a memory so that you can have an appropriate response to this frightening event based on a memory. This is what happens. Like, this is the medicine, the science. This all happens in a millisecond. And so this process, as it completes, the body is primed to respond with fear and anxiety to whatever triggered the reaction. All right, here's what I'm saying. Correctly understood then, an anxiety problem or struggle is when our senses keep sounding false alarms. And this process takes place too often, and so it's tiring. Think of the car constantly starting and then turning off and then starting and then turning off. And happening when it should not, and so it can be irrational fears. And so this is what anxiety is, just like medically, okay? So hold on to that definition as we continue in the verse. All right. So Philippians 4, verse 6a, we looked at, do not be anxious about anything. Now, continuing, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It would be kind of tough if all the Apostle Paul and God by his word was saying to us was just, don't be anxious. All right, go figure that out. That's not what it says. It says, do not be anxious in anything, and it gives an alternative. It says, but in everything, do these things. So what's included? Answer, everything. What do we do? What do? We pray. What are the forms of prayer that the Apostle Paul gives us here? We see prayer, that's general prayer. We see supplication, that's a request. That's an entreaty. And we see thanksgiving, The Greek word is eucharista. It means gratitude. It means sort of good thanks. And so with prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, and then here's a command. Let your requests be made known. So the command is to make known to God what he already knows. But God's commanding us to make it known to him. Why? So that he can find it out because he doesn't know? No, clearly not. Because we need to do this. We need to make our requests known to God. The idea here is of an orderly presentation. Picture a table, picture laying out an orderly presentation of your requests to the Lord. This is what Paul, this is what God, by his word, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to his church, to us as followers of Christ, that we are to do in place of anxiety, authentic prayer, in place of anxiety. So Paul is encouraging us to create a new pattern. When you encounter the fear and the anxiety triggers, which is everywhere, in every time, in all times, he is saying we need to learn a spiritual reaction of sending a message, but spiritually. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to talk to God, to commune with our Heavenly Father, who is sovereign over everything going on. Jeremiah 32:17 says, O Lord God, you yourself made the heavens and earth by your great power and with your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. And so if you think about that in light of our definition of anxiety and having a reaction and messages being sent to the brain, we are to send a message spiritually by prayer to our Father in heaven. It's a new pattern. It's a spiritual response. And Paul says, when we do this, we're not done. We're still like diving into verse 7 right now. But Paul says, when we do this, a blessing will follow. Look at it in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Think about that. What happens when we send that message spiritually to God is something happens to us, and it's this promise of peace. The word here is for shalom, this wholeness. He says it surpasses understanding. What do you make of that? It surpasses understanding. What does that mean? I'd say it's counterintuitive. You could even say it's counter-medical. It surpasses understanding. But he says the peace of God, what does he say it will do? He personifies the peace of God and he says it will do this. It will guard. Guard what? What does it say? Look at verse 7. Your hearts and your minds. Those are the landing places. Those are the war zones of anxiety. Of the anxious and the fearful mind and heart. He says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. You can just picture Paul writing this. You know, he's chained to a guard in prison under house arrest. Literally in quarantine. And he's chained and he's writing this. You know, ching, 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 ching. The chain's moving. He's writing it. And the peace of God will guard, ching, 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 you know. Guard's like, what are you doing? He's like, I was just thinking about you. Well, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus in the way that this guard is guarding Paul. And so we should just pause and think about these verses, this promise, this practice of authentic prayer. There is a lot of anxiety out there and in here. There's a lot of inauthentic prayer out there and in here. So what about you, brother or sister in Christ? How are you doing with this, friend? Are you making the peace of Jesus real in your life through authentic prayer? Can we together commit? Can we as families, thinking about these scriptures together, commit to make this more real, to make it our practice? That's where Paul goes next. I want to show you that just before we close. If you go to verse 9, just drop down two verses. He says this, look at it. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Think about verse 9. Paul knows that he cannot teach the Philippians to do something that he's not modeling. Okay? He understands. Truth is more caught sometimes than taught. And so he's like, I'm not going to tell you to do something that I'm not doing. And so he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Like if the Philippians are like, do you have an example, Paul? He's like, yeah, I do. Me. That's a bold claim that we want to be able to make too. He's like, I'm not going to tell you to do what I'm not doing. And then but what does he say? Paul also knows that he cannot lay out this important teaching on anxiety and prayer without closing it out with a firm and clear injunction to us, his readers, that they must put it into practice. We're not just talking about this, all right? It's not helpful for us to just talk about this. We have to practice it. Paul says just that here. He says, practice these things. Practice these things. Think about that. We've got to make it a practice. We've got to maybe make it a new practice. We maybe need to renew our practice. We need to change our practice. We've got to practice these things. Paul knows that everything he's sharing with us is no good if we don't practice it. And so keep that in mind. I think of Hebrews 4, where it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Or James 1, where it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so even as I read that verse, to be doers of the word, maybe go back and just underline that word practice. It's so important. How are you going to practice this? You know, like the Philippians that Paul is writing to, and like us today in the midst of this crisis in our culture with the coronavirus and whatever other sufferings and pressures we're facing, because let's remember that there's other stuff happening too in our lives. Whatever these struggles are, you think about Paul writing this letter. He also has every natural reason imaginable to be overwhelmed with anxiety and depression. He is in prison. He is awaiting trial to see if he's going to live or die. The churches that he has started and that he loves and the people that he loves are out of his reach. They're experiencing hard times. He can't do anything about it. He's chained up. He's under a quarantine, if you will. And so what does he go to? He goes to this practice, authentic prayer instead of anxiety. And he knows from his personal experience, and he is sharing that with us. The end of verse 9 says this, and it closes this way. And the God of peace will be with you. Panic sells. Calm doesn't even really save. Jesus saves. Specifically, a relationship with Jesus through placing your faith in him, turning away from sin, and learning to practice authentic prayer in the place of anxiety. Martin Luther famously said that Jesus had become so real to him that he is living this day as if Jesus died on the cross just for him yesterday, and as if he is returning tomorrow for him. So real is Jesus. And so I began this encouragement this morning with, hey, the coronavirus really got real for us this past week. And maybe there's some other struggles or challenges in your life that feel really real. Friends, may the peace of Jesus in your life through authentic prayer be the most real thing. And may it be even more real than the things we are afraid of and anxious about. Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word, and we just want to practice right now what we just talked about, and we want to come before you with thanksgiving for your goodness, for your kindness, for all the blessings that you have given to each and every one of us. Lord, we want to specifically lay out the requests that are on our heart, that are burdening us. We want to name them. We want to say, Lord, that we are afraid, that we are anxious, that we do not know how much we'll be inconvenienced. We do not know for how long. We do not know a lot of things, Lord, because we're not you. You know. And so we're trusting our unknowns to you, a God who knows all, and a God who is sovereign. And we just love you. We thank you that we have this relationship with you, that we're not left to figure it out, to try to just muster up enough calmness to get through it. But Lord, we can go before you. We can enter your presence through prayer. And so Lord, help us to do that. Help our youth to do that in a way that is real for them. Help our parents and our married couples to do that together. Lord, help our singles and our adults and our teenagers and everyone in this church family and in our city to find a new place in their relationship with you, to grow immeasurably in this season in authentic prayer. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.